Hello, I'm Howard Husick, Vice President for Policy Research here at the Manhattan Institute. And I'm joined this morning by the Director of our Center for Medical Progress, Paul Howard. And we're going to be discussing his new report, Building a Market-Based Health Insurance Exchange in New York. And our broad topic really is health insurance exchanges. The Affordable Care Act, which is commonly known as Obamacare, requires every state to begin to set up a health insurance exchange. Paul and I are going to discuss what these exchanges are and the ways in which they might make our healthcare system perhaps worse, but also perhaps better. So, Paul, I wonder if you could begin by explaining what exactly is health insurance exchange anyway.
Well, in a nutshell, Howard, think of a car dealership that offers many different brands for sale. So rather than having to go around and shop in many different dealers' locations or separate locations for each manufacturer, you can have one-stop shopping where you can easily compare makes and models and look at the different characteristics of the car and perhaps have a broker or some other individual provide you with some key information about pricing and then help you with the sale. So at its most basic level, an insurance exchange is just an organized marketplace that brings together buyers and sellers in a friendly way on an electronic website that allows you to easily compare insurance options based on price, quality, and whether or not they cover the doctors that you and your family need.
And so we're going to have exchanges that have lots of different health insurance plans for sale. Why is this part of Obamacare, so-called, anyway?
Well, it's part of Obamacare because there's been the belief, or at least the argument on both the left and the right for some years now, originally led by the Heritage Institute, that insurance exchanges would be a good way to allow people to purchase health insurance, to compare them, and hopefully drive competition in health insurance markets to lower the cost of insurance, but also to lower some of the administrative costs that come along with trying to purchase coverage from individuals or small businesses. In other words, if you're at a large firm, your firm picks the insurance for you and decides what characteristics the insurance is going to have,
sure.
and then it allocates all the payments for you. In the individual market, the insurer has to find you and then has to convince you to buy, and you also don't have the tax preference for health insurance. Exchanges were created, or the idea is that this would be a way to funnel the tax preference for health insurance to individuals and also enhance the ability of small businesses who often don't have large, sophisticated human resources department that can bargain with insurers to find affordable insurance options. Now, what's driving the exchanges under Obamacare is going to be the subsidies. There are large premium tax credits and cost-sharing subsidies that are available to individuals and families making up to 400% of the federal poverty level or about $90,000.
Oh, so that's very interesting. So through Obamacare, individuals and families are going to get support to go shopping in the exchanges that they hadn't had to date, and people earning up to $90,000 a year, which is a substantial amount of money, are going to get that kind of support.
Right. And here's where the concerns come in. There's a lot of new federal insurance regulation that came about because of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, that actually is going to put pricing pressure on insurance premiums and actually drive up the cost of insurance premiums in most states. New York is an exception because it's already extraordinarily heavily regulated. New insurance regulations are going to drive up the price of insurance, especially for young, healthy people who don't get insurance through their workplace. Telling them that they have to buy a very expensive insurance policy is just not a winning proposition. So Obamacare contains both large subsidies to try and get these people to buy a product that at the lower income level is going to be free or relatively low cost, and a mandate, a penalty, if they don't buy. So these are all both carrots and sticks designed to get people to go to the exchange.
Uh-huh. So it's not really entirely voluntary to go shopping for a health care plan. You get health care dollars to go do the shopping, but you also get, in effect, forced to engage in that shopping.
Right. And then the concerns on the right, which I tend to share, is that a lot of this heavy regulation, either at the state or the federal level or both, is going to drive up the price of insurance. Despite the subsidies, people are still going to be on the hook, particularly at the upper income levels, starting about $50,000 a year and up, for thousands of dollars a year in out-of-pocket costs for a product that could potentially be a Cadillac-style plan that may not fit their needs very well. If there are not a lot of much more affordable options available on the exchanges, this is going to drive up the cost to taxpayers as the subsidies balloon to pay for these expensive plans, and may also dissuade some people from buying insurance even with the subsidies. They could say to themselves, well, given these new insurance regulations that require insurers to sell me insurance whenever I'm sick, even if I'm already sick, I can still buy insurance. why don't I just pay the relatively minor penalty under the law, wait until I'm sick and I actually need insurance, and then I'll go and get it.
So it sounds like you're skeptical in some ways that the exchanges might be a relatively limited docket of plans that are all pretty expensive because of what they're required to offer, high costs, therefore high subsidies, therefore some people don't choose to participate at all because they can get coverage when they need it. What could make the exchanges actually be an improvement, though? Anything?
Well, for New York in particular, New York had already had actually very stringent regulations, one of which is called community rating, which basically means that anyone who wants to buy a policy, regardless of their health status or age, is charged the same price. Now, this will lower costs for older, sicker people to some extent, but it'll also raise prices for younger, healthier people. Remember, we discussed earlier that there is a benefit-to-cost ratio here. So if you expect the benefits to get from insurance, especially if you're young and healthy and you're not seeing the doctor very often at all, to be low, and the cost of insurance is high, you'll opt out and you'll sit out the market. Because of that community rating and also because of something called guaranteed issue that allows people in New York, for the most part, to buy insurance even after they're sick so insurers can't turn them down, it's caused the price of insurance in the what's called the individual direct pay, unsubsidized insurance market in New York, people to drop out entirely. As recently as 2000 in New York, there were about 130,000 people in New York's individual insurance market. Today, there's just about 30,000. So the market has basically died. The only people who are left clinging to the quote-unquote life raft of individual insurance in the state are people who are very, very sick and expect very, very high insurance care costs. And so even if they're spending $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a year for insurance, that's still a gain for them given their very expected high medical costs.
So you're saying that the market in New York has already been distorted, as it were, by a great deal of regulation and mandates. And so against that background, it might be possible for the exchanges to offer products that could be an improvement? Is that it?
That's exactly right. So ironically, the Affordable Care Act, although it will raise the floor for regulation in a lot of states, is actually below where we are currently in the New York market. For instance, it allows age rating. Premiums can vary based on age up to 3-1 under the Affordable Care Act. New York has pure community ratings, so it's not allowed to vary at all for age. The Affordable Care Act also allows insurers to charge a bit more for smokers, up to 1.5 times what they charge non-smokers. New York doesn't allow any adjustment for smoking status for health insurance premiums.
Does Mayor Bloomberg know that?
I think Mayor Bloomberg might be in favor of increasing that kind of premium. So that would allow more premium variation, perhaps more attractive, lower price plans for younger, healthier people. But also, the Affordable Care Act sets maximum out-of-pocket payments under the law to current standards for what are called health savings accounts, which are basically a savings account where individuals or their employers can deduct money for out-of-pocket healthcare costs linked to what's called a high-deductible healthcare plan, which usually has deductibles ranging at, you know, from as low as a few thousand dollars to a maximum out-of-pocket of $6,000 for individuals and $12,000 for families, I believe, under current law. But that means that this option, which is typically very affordable, premiums are often 40% less than traditional plans, and that also economists believe these types of plans encourage people to become smarter healthcare shoppers, and therefore the cost of inflation or the rate of inflation for these plans is lower than in traditional plans. That type of insurance, health savings account, is not currently available in the individual market. It looks like under the Affordable Care Act, with some potential provisions and hiccups in the law, but those would be available under New York's current market. So the potential here is for New York policymakers to hit the reset button a little bit and both allow more premium variation to get more young, healthy people in the market, different types of plans and new plan innovations into the individual market that will actually allow more competition, more innovation, more choice, and hopefully a better bargain both for taxpayers, who we want to keep the subsidy cost down, and for small businesses who are looking for more affordable options.
And so in your paper, Building a Market-Based Health Insurance Exchange in New York, you emphasize exactly what you've been talking about is, and it sounds like a big deal, health savings accounts not currently available in New York. As I understand it, if you stay healthy, you don't spend the money you've set aside as in an individual retirement account, you get to keep that money, right?
Right, and then it becomes a savings vehicle and you can draw down on it for legitimate healthcare expenses. But the basic idea is just in a nutshell, if you can keep that money and you view it as your money, you're more likely to ask questions like, do I really need that drug? Where can I get the best deal on a diagnostic test. You know, so it turns you a bit more into a healthcare shopper looking for the best value in the marketplace. And that gives physicians or hospitals and diagnostic providers an incentive to tell you what the prices are, perhaps even bargain with you a little bit whenever it's possible.
And I suppose to take better care of yourself, maybe.
Right. Well, insurers actually have a great incentive under these high deductible plans to keep you healthy. Because remember, their insurance, which is often 100% insurance coverage after the deductible is met, doesn't kick in until you go through that $5,000 or $12,000 deductible. So they want to make sure you're healthy. So often preventive services are free before you get to the deductible. So that includes things like wellness doctor visits, vaccinations, other basic services like that. And in fact, the Affordable Care Act requires, I think, a minimum of 3 doctor's visits free before the deductible starts. So there's lots of reasons for insurers to help keep you healthy so they don't have to bring that insurance component into play later on.
And so, in short, you're hoping, and your paper makes the point, this ought to be added to the menu of what's available when New York, and I suppose other states, implement the exchanges.
Yeah, I think one of the key elements here is developing an exchange and look at states like Utah, look at states like Massachusetts, see what they've done well, see perhaps where things can be improved upon.
They have exchanges already.
Massachusetts and Utah have 2 versions of exchanges. Utah's exchange is really focused at small businesses, and it's actually just opened for business this January 2011. Massachusetts has been in operation for several years now. One of the things I think they've done well is created a website where it is very easy to compare plan options. That, I think, is going to be the key, not just allowing people to compare different insurance options to see what they cover, apples to apples, and what the costs are. But I think down the line, another great feature that could come into play in the exchanges that I would advise New York and other policymakers to look at very carefully is a provider quality database of some kind that will allow you to look at the prices and costs of hospitals and physicians and how they were associated with different insurance vehicles. So you could say this insurance plan might have a very limited network of providers, but they could be very high quality, could be in your neighborhood, and there's also a very low premium associated with it. I think that would take some of the concern about gatekeeping or being funneled or having patients funneled to certain providers out of the system and encourage cost competition. So I think there's a potential here to move the system in the right way beyond just comparing plans, but actually comparing providers and looking for high quality, cost-effective providers.
All in all, for something that's kind of obscure right now, the health insurance exchange, sounds like it's a pretty big deal, and it could change the way we purchase health insurance quite dramatically.
I think that people on both the left and the right should take the insurance exchange option very seriously and think about it very carefully. States obviously are going to go in different directions based on what they think the needs of their individual populations are. In New York, we've got an opportunity here to really hit the reset button, make more choices available, perhaps bring down insurance costs a bit, and then think very carefully about how we can drive more competition and choice in the healthcare system.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. That was Paul Howard, the director of the Manhattan Institute Center for Medical Progress, discussing his new paper, Building a Market-Based Health Insurance Exchange in New York. I'm Howard Husick, Vice President for Policy Research at the Manhattan Institute. Thank you for listening.